So here we are in week number three. I think the video said four, but we're actually in week number three called Perfect Love. And in the first couple of weeks, you might remember, hopefully you remember, because we briefed on it last week too, that talking about the reason that Jesus stayed on the cross was not the nails that held him there, not the soldiers or anything like that, but it was his passion for humankind that basically kept Jesus on the cross, because we know that he could have taken himself or removed himself from that. And then last week, we talked about, we learned that Jesus was the humble king who serves a world who is in desperate need, how he loved with all humility, and how he kind of showed us the way to love and the way that we ought to love with humility. We looked at how Jesus' actions were fueled by a humble love, as well as, and we'll discuss further today, his perfect love. We talked about his humble love. Today we're going to talk about his perfect love, and more specifically focused on the joy that was set before him. So, as I said, you know, this is probably a pretty poor comparison, but I'm thinking about our time, my family's time, the last couple days from the moment that we heard that our flight was canceled. It, you really don't have time to really kind of be frustrated. You kind of just have to focus on what you need to do, right? And we were frustrated and we were disappointed and we looked around, but there was thousands of other people in the airport frantically searching and calling and trying to make arrangements to do the same thing. And so, but I needed to stay focused, like I said, on getting my family a place to stay at night. So I couldn't be sidetracked by the commotion around me. I'm like, I have to stay focused on what I need to do. And of course, then calling hotel after hotel and getting no response, or the response was no rooms available. I couldn't let that derail me. All I could do was just go on to the next motel. I couldn't cry about it. I just said, okay, go on to the next hotel on the list and keep on going. And then once we finally found a room, then the focus had to be on getting a way home, right? So great, we got a room, but we still don't have a way home. So I couldn't just be content with finding a room. I had to now focus on the mission at hand, and that's actually getting home. So as I said, I called on a good friend and a seasoned traveler to help. And a bunch of texts later, in a motel room, we finally found a way home. And then we had to find a way of making sure we caught all three flights, because we had two layovers. We flew from Orlando to Philadelphia and had an 8-hour layover in the Philadelphia airport. And then we flew from Philadelphia to Chicago O'Hare, where we had a layover. And then from Chicago to Lansing. So we had to stay focused in making sure that once we got off the flight that we found the next terminal so we didn't miss that flight. So as disappointing and frustrating it is, you have to stay focused on getting where you need to be. And we finally did that, and we finally made it back yesterday. As I said, a very poor comparison probably, but the principles are really still the same. Jesus was sent with a job or a race to finish, right? He stayed focused. He ran the perfect race while he was here on earth. And that race took him to his eventual death on a cross. Our journey got us back here safely. His journey got him death on a cross. Today we hope to learn more about that perfect love that fueled Jesus on his journey. Our main text today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 in verses 24 through 26. We'll have several more texts later, but this is kind of the main one, and this is what it says. Do you not know that in the race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, do not run like a man running aimlessly. Catch that. Do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. As I said, Jesus ran a perfect race. And we know from the Gospels that he was very disciplined with his time, with his intention. He was neither running aimlessly, nor was he boxing in the air. He had an eternal crown in mind. He wasn't living and working for anything temporary. He had an end game in mind, and it was an eternal crown, a specific mission, and a specific calling. And there were many opportunities along the way for him to be derailed, a lot of persecution, a lot of trouble, a lot of conflict. He created conflict everywhere he went, but he remained focused on the mission, and he remained focused on the calling, and all the other things he didn't let distract him. Hebrews 12:1-2 says this, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let our fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." And I love this part. "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross." For the joy set before him? Like during the cross was this joy set before him? He endured the cross. That doesn't really seem like something that would bring a great amount of joy, right? You and I are called to run a similar race. While running through this life, it's important that we do so with endurance. But endurance requires commitment to the cause. You can't run with endurance if you're not committed to the cause. Because eventually, if you're not committed to the cause, you'll stall out. You'll lose interest. You'll stop running. And it invites us to never give up hope of crossing the finish line. Some days it feels like you're just never going to get to the finish line. If I'm being honest, it felt like we are never going to get home last night. I'm like, are we ever going to get there? But we just stayed focused on catching our flights, knowing that we were going to get there. When things start to go sideways, you have to keep your eyes on the end. You have to keep your eyes on eternity. You have to keep your eyes on heaven. You have to keep your eyes on Jesus, because there are many things in this life that will cause us to go sideways. We need to stay focused on Jesus. You definitely don't want to do that one of the larger airports like O'Hare. If you don't stay focused in one of those airports, you can get derailed very, very quickly. Because here's what easily happens. When you're faced with those situations or a situation that you feel like you don't have control over, it's easy just to start running a million miles an hour just to do something or go somewhere, and then realize that you're going a million miles an hour in the wrong direction. Like I said, you do that in a large airport. You get off and just start moving, just to move because you're anxious or you're nervous. You may not make your next flight, because those are not easy airports to navigate or easy to follow or understand. You get off, you have to look, you have to think, you have to focus, and then you got to move and not be tracked. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus as the perfecter of our faith while we run the race. God is able to refine us as we run the race with endurance. But how does this happen? How does this refining process happen? What is required from us in order to experience the refinement? First thing we need to do is keep our eyes on the cross. keep our eyes on the cross. We already spent time in this series discussing how Jesus suffered on the cross for our sins. We know that. That's what this time of year is about. This is what we remember. This is the very core of our belief, the very core of Christianity. It was his passion for humanity that held him there. We've talked about it over and over again. I believe if we desire to experience that same passion, if we desire to experience Jesus Christ personally, day by day, we must be willing to fix our gaze upon the cross as well. I'm talking about understanding, knowing Jesus Christ personally, day by day. Not just knowing of him, not just necessarily accepting him as our Savior, but to personally know him day by day, we must be willing to fix our eyes upon the cross as well. As humans, we find ourselves experiencing this ongoing conflict between where we fix our gaze versus where we glance. Right? Our mind is focused on one thing, but we always tend to glance off at another thing once in a while. And I can tell you, there's a lot of people that oftentimes feel empty on the inside, like they have nothing to give, like they have nothing to live for, have no purpose, like they have no mission in life, and do things seemingly out of obligation rather than for a purpose. They show up for work just because it's an obligation and really don't find purpose in it. Some people even show up to worship out of obligation and aren't really finding purpose in it. It's just what we do as Christians is go to church on Sunday. When that happens, I think it's because we are merely glancing over at Jesus once in a while and saying, "Oh, hi, Jesus," while we're actually gazing at the world. We're focused on the world. We're gazing at the world, and every once in a while, we just give Jesus the occasional glance. And I can tell you, if you're going through life feeling like you have no purpose, feeling like you have nothing to give, it's probably because you're gazing at the world and only glancing at Jesus once in a while. So if you find yourself in that place, my challenge to you today is to switch places. I want to invite you to spend time gazing at God and beholding God and merely just glancing at the world once in a while. We aren't going to escape the world. It's all around us. We can't avoid seeing it and experiencing it altogether. We can't do it. It's all around us, and we shouldn't do it. But what we need to do is spend more time gazing at God in the cross and more time just kind of glancing at. Paul talks about this letter in his letter to the in 5:17. In 5:17, Thessalonians 5:17. Might just want to write that down. I don't think we'll actually go there. Fixing our eye or our gaze upon Christ means praying when we're in the car. It means when we're in a coffee shop. It means when we're just at home. It means when we drop our kids off at school. It means when we're getting groceries. It means when we're stuck at an airport. It means when we're facing difficulties and troubles in life. It means we're thinking about and we're praying, we're talking to God and we're thinking about God and we're praying to God everywhere we go in all occasions. We have to train our minds to focus on God, to focus on Christ, and stop focusing on all the things that seek to occupy our time. They are many. Look, there is no limit to the amount of time we can spend with God in numerous different ways. The ways are limitless on how we can spend time with God. All of the time we spend with God is meant to direct our focus back to the cross. When we spend time with God, it directs our focus back to the cross. Because it's in the cross where our hope lies. In any, every season of life, while running the race, our hope lies in the cross. When we spend time with God, He directs us back to the cross where our hope is found. God is able then to take us deeper in prayer and take us deeper in His Word. However, allowing God to perfect our faith does not just include gazing at the cross. We also must endure whatever the race brings. So we can't just be focused on the cross, but we also must be willing to endure what happens between now and then. We have to be willing to endure what the race brings our way. We can do that if we stay focused on the cross. The Bible makes it clear there will be hard times while running the race. And you're like, no kidding. The Bible didn't have to tell me that. I figured that out on my own. There are definitely hard times. In fact, there's probably more hard times than there are easy times when you're running the race of faith, when you're keeping your eyes focused on the cross, when you're living intimately with Jesus. There's a lot of hard times. It's not easy. But we have to learn to endure the frustration and endure the pain and endure the hardship. In John 16:33, Jesus tells us this: in this life, you'll have trouble. You're just going to have trouble. And James 1:2 reminds us what to do when we have that trouble. You know what James says? He says to count it all joy when you face the various troubles of all kinds. Here's that word joy. He tells us to count it all joy. The other text says that for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. I didn't say to be happy about it. I didn't necessarily say we should celebrate it, but we can find joy in it, knowing that it's the refining of our faith, and it's Jesus taking us one step closer to the cross. These are just a couple of passages that reiterate a constant and consistent message that you'll find throughout Scripture. Even the perfect, sinless Son of God had to endure trouble, had to endure persecution, pain, and suffering. Last week, we looked briefly at one moment in Scripture where Jesus was being arrested and He prayed to God, "Let this cup pass from me." We can't forget that this was not easy for Jesus. We can't forget that He was actually hoping for another way. He didn't get sidetracked from it. He was not unwilling to do it, but He was still hoping for another way. And that's what we need to do. I mean, I'm not to be happy. We can hope for another way. But when God says, no, I'm sorry, there is no other way, this is the way, then we have to endure it, and we have to somehow try and find joy in it. Even though He said, God, Father, please let this cup pass from me. And I'm sure He said it with passion, and I'm sure He probably said it with tears in His eyes, let this cup pass from me. And the Father said, no, no, this is the plan. And Jesus said, okay, okay. Father, I will endure the cross. As Hebrews said, for the joy set before Him. For the joy set before me, Father, I will endure the cross. Because it's the plan that You have given to me. It's the purpose You have given to me. And for the joy set before me, I will endure it. For the sake of You and me experiencing new life. That's why he endured the cross. That's why he said, okay, Father, I'll do it, so that you and I could find joy in the new life in Jesus Christ. If we want our faith to be refined, and if we want our faith to be perfected, chances are we'll have to go through a little bit of fire. Chances are we might have to go through a lot of fire. Here's what Paul says in Romans 8:17 about that. Now, if we are children, and we know that we are the children of God, then we are heirs. We are heirs of God. So if we are children of God, we are heirs of God. And if we are heirs of God, then it says we are co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, are you ready for this? That we may also share in his glory. If we share in his sufferings, then we also share in his glory. There is something beautiful about seasons of suffering in our life. It doesn't look beautiful, and it doesn't oftentimes feel beautiful. But there's something beautiful about it. Think for just a moment about a dramatic event, or perhaps even a dramatic season in your life. Maybe it was a health-related, maybe it was job-related, finance-related, relationship-related, addiction-related, depression-related, whatever the case may be. Think about one of those times in your life. And I say in the sermon to do that because I believe you could probably think of that in just a second. It wouldn't take you very long to remember a season or a time in your life. It was in that moment or moments like it that God is able to shine his light the brightest. Maybe you're in that season right now. Maybe you're living in the fire right now. Maybe God is refining your faith right now so he can shape you and mold you into the purpose, the person he wants you to be, so that you can be focused on the mission that he has set before you. It's not easy, and it doesn't feel comfortable. However, the Bible promises we can still have joy in the midst of the suffering. The decision that Jesus Christ made to endure the cross was in the eyes of the world, foolish. The Bible says the cross is foolish for those that don't believe. It is. If you don't believe, it's crazy. It's outlandish. It's nuts. Why would anybody do that? Culturally, this was a death tool that illustrated shame. The cross meant shame to the world. Why? For the joy set before him. So does that mean that Jesus was joyful in reconciling sinners like us to God? Absolutely. It brought Jesus joy to reconcile sinners like us to God the Father. Jesus found joy in that. Jesus does find joy in that. And he will continue to find joy in that as he brings sinners like us in relationship to God the Father. And I wonder if we are called to take a similar posture in our endurance. Does it bring you joy to think that those in your life that don't know Christ coming to faith in him? Does that think, if you know somebody that doesn't know Jesus, the thought of them coming to know Jesus, doesn't that bring you a great amount of joy? And I think that's what Jesus was thinking, like, man, I'm going to do this because if I do this, somebody that doesn't know God or have a relationship with God or have a way to God now does, that's going to bring me a great amount of joy. What is God trying to use you to plant the gospel seed to plant the seeds of the gospel. Even through sharing Christ, he will perfect your faith. Keep your eyes fixed on the cross. Endure what the race brings. And remember that you are not alone in the race. And I think that's the third principle. We have to keep our eyes focused on the cross. We have to endure the hardships that come along the way with it. And we can do it if we remember that we're not alone. All throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he was reminding people that he was not alone. God the Father was directing his steps. Jesus was finding moments, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, to spend one-on-one time with his Father. He models for us what it means to be fully reliant on God's strength and God's plan. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes into play. When we realize what it means that we are never alone, we are allowing God to lead us through difficult things. Through the experiences that that I had you think about just a moment ago, and thinking about my own experiences in life, it's always been my experience that in those times Jesus was perfecting and refining my faith. He was just chipping away, chiseling away at things, continuously shaping, continuously sculpting my faith. And I believe he does the same for you. We must learn to trust him. We must learn to have faith, and we must learn to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Jesus himself said this. Jesus himself said, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. Whether you are enduring a tough season right now, or one that is producing a lot of fruit, give glory to God for his faithfulness in never leaving or forsaking you, and for the giving us the Holy Spirit. We truly are never alone in this journey. We are never alone in this journey. God has given us the gift of the Spirit. Once we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are given the gift of the Spirit that is with us all the time to help us stay focused, to help us endure, to help us keep our eyes on the prize, to help us keep our gaze on the cross and off of the world. Let me close with this. The perfect love of Christ for his church is an amazing gift. It really is. His perfect love. And it's worth remembering that Christ learned perfect love, and he received perfect love directly from his Heavenly Father. Christ learned what perfect love was, and he knew what it was like to receive perfect love from his Father. I brought this up last week too, but it's worth remembering here. In John 15:9, Jesus reminds, the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. Now, I'm not one to add or take away from the Scripture. It's kind of dangerous in doing that, but I would say this. Now remain in my perfect love. Remain in my perfect love. Jesus, the Savior of mankind, is asking you to remain in his perfect love. Not to remain in the world and only make visits into his perfect love, but to live there and to remain there and to stay there and to abide there. Not to go looking for it anywhere else, but to stay and remain and learn to abide in the perfect love of Jesus Christ. As many of us here know all too well, you're not going to find unconditional love, all-powerful love of Jesus Christ anywhere else. Just not. You're not going to find it in some counterfeit God. You're not going to find it in some vocation. You're not going to find it in some hobby. People think they find it in their hobbies. Man, I have found my place in my hobbies. in my golf game, in my collection, in my hobby of racing or sport, whatever the case may be. It's just not true. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. Maybe recently you've been living in fear of something. Fear of finances, fear in this, fear of that. The Bible says His perfect love casts out fear. Maybe you're living in fear because you've been looking for perfect love everywhere else but in Christ. And if so, I invite you back to His perfect love this morning. If you've been living outside of His perfect love, I invite you back into His perfect love so you don't have to live in fear and anxiety anymore. Or maybe you have accepted Jesus, and I believe that you all have, but have never really allowed His perfect love to shape your faith. You said yes to Jesus, but you said no to allowing Him to really reshape your faith or refine your faith. So my invitation to you then is this, is to receive the perfect love of Christ. You might have already received His salvation, but today you want to receive His perfect love so that you can be refined and shaped, so that your faith can be refined and shaped. And then in so doing, it will allow you to refocus your gaze upon Jesus and not just run aimlessly in the world, running a million miles an hour in the wrong direction. Sometimes I feel like that's what we do. We've accepted Jesus. We know Jesus. But as soon as we did that, we spent our life running a million miles an hour, spinning our wheels, running aimlessly, boxing in the air, not having purpose or direction. I can assure you that He has never left you. He will never leave you. He has never forsaken you. He will never forsake you. And He waits patiently for us to remain or come back to His perfect love until the very end of time. Let's pray. Lord, thank You that Your love, now this morning we thank You that Your love is perfect. Lord, we thank You that not only did You keep Your eyes on the cross, but You endured all the hardships along the way, knowing and realizing that You were not alone, but You had God the Father to provide, to give You strength. And Lord, I believe that You are calling us to do the same, to keep our gaze upon the cross, to endure all that comes our way on the journey, and that we can do it because we know that we are not alone. We are in good company. We know that You did the same. Lord, we know that You have given us the Spirit that lives within us so that we may too be able to endure all. We perfect love, and we thank You for Your perfect example of Your perfect love. For anyone here this morning has maybe once lived in Your perfect love, but now has kind of been walking outside it. Lord, I pray that Your Spirit would invite them back in to that love. Pray for those here this morning that accepted You as their personal Savior and they did so and have received salvation, but in reality still have never experienced what it's like to have their faith refined because they've never lived in Your perfect love, because they've been running a million miles an hour in the wrong direction, boxing aimlessly into the air without purpose or intention. Lord, whatever the case may be, Lord, I pray that You would also draw them into Your perfect love this morning. Lord, whatever the case may be during our closing today, Lord, I pray that You would draw each one of us into Your perfect love, that we would remain in Your perfect love, knowing that it casts out fear, and knowing that in doing so we can keep our gaze upon the cross. And we give you thanks for all things. Amen. Today is the